Welcome to the New Covenant Christian Community Church podcast. Join us as Pastor Jack and other NC4 staff challenge us with a message from God's Word.
Today is the last day in our series of messages entitled Unafraid, Breaking the Power of Fear. And this morning we're tackling an unusual kind of fear. It's the one that isn't really, we don't really see it as dangerous, but it's important to tackle it if you value moving in to your destiny in God. And I'm talking about the fear of change. People don't like change because not all changes are good. We become fearful of our sense of loss, or more than that, we become fearful that a new and familiar set of circumstances is going to cause us to lose control. And we know that not all change is good. So very often it's tough to see God in a potential change in our lives. So we take refuge in the predictability of our lives. And that's why I've entitled this message, The Refuge of Predictability, from Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 16. So I want to develop this biblical principle. And we know that not all change is good, but I want to say this. When God decides to do a new thing, the unpredictable, the change, becomes something creative and something wonderful. And change is something we can't stop, but we can align ourselves to the God who's doing the changing. Are you there? In other words, Jesus said to Nicodemus, you know not where the wind comes from and where it blows. So we don't know where the wind comes from, where it goes, but we can align our sails to the wind and go where the producer of the wind is going. Are you there? It's that kind of thing. So I want to develop that principle this morning, because I believe NC4, listen, brothers and sisters, we are moving into a season. Before the end of the year, we're moving into a season of creative and wonderful change. And I don't have a specific thing. I really don't know all the change that's going to take place. I know we're going to move into the new facility in Macungie, and I know Ian Martin's coming aboard. He's out at Macungie this morning preaching. He goes back to Prague, I think, tomorrow. But that's not just what I'm talking about. I have this sense in God that there are lives here that are going to be transformed this year in some really interesting and new and surprising and creative and awesome ways. Is that okay with everyone? I mean, I'm prophesying that. I'm saying that God is going to do that. Now, the only being who doesn't change, we all change, yeah? I mean, the only being who doesn't change, I would say in the universe, but it's even beyond the universe. The only being who doesn't change is who? God, right? God says in Malachi 3:6, I love this, he says, I am God, I change not. Now, I can exegete that 30 different ways and interpret it. All it means is, I'm God, I don't change. Huh? All right? James 1:17, we sing this. James says that God is a God in whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. We sing it. There is no shadow of turning in thee. Bob Mumford, who was one of my favorite Bible teachers, who's now, I think, retired, but just a tremendous... Billy Graham said Bob Mumford was the greatest Bible teacher in America at one time, and I believe that was true. Anyway, he said, he talked about being in prayer one day, and he heard what he said. It wasn't audible, but it was almost the audible voice of the Lord. And the Lord said to him, Mumford, you and I are incompatible. And then Mumford said, well, I went back and said, really, Lord? And then the Lord said to Mumford, and I don't change. So why does God change things? Why is God stirring things up all the time? Well, one of the reasons is we serve God is the unchanged changer. Let's go there. Okay. Well, one of the reasons is if we serve a surprising God, all right? How can somebody be truly creative, like God is, and not be enamored of change? God is a creative God. How can like a Picasso not go through his blue period, right? How can Lady Gaga not reinvent herself, yeah? Seriously, creative people do that. We got a creative God who's doing that all the time. There are more dimensions, there are more facets, more unfathomable things about God that we can dive into as we develop our relationship. But another reason that God changes things, watch this, is God refuses to be reduced into acting how we have already decided he should act. Huh? God refuses to be reduced into our sense of how we would do things if we were God. God refuses to be reduced into any human philosophy. And I love philosophy. I'm not saying philosophy is bad. But there's no philosophy that can completely describe God. God refuses to be reduced into human psychology. Oh, here's a doozy. God refuses to be reduced into a political party. Huh? I was praying about 10 days ago, and I heard, this is what I heard the Lord say. I heard the Lord say, tell the people I'm not their life coach, I'm their God. There's this gravitas about God that we kind of lose sometimes in all of the motivational stuff that we work through. And I love motivational messages and those kinds of things. But there's almost this sense that we the church is just about learning how to live life and not learning how to encounter the awesome presence of the living. Steward the presence of the living God, that kind of thing. And to do that, God wants to work in some crazy ways sometimes. So back in the 90s, the Holy Spirit hit Vineyard Church in Toronto, and there's this tremendous move of the Spirit and across the world. It was a big deal. And you know, I just couldn't get enough of the presence of God. Went up there with my friend Stuart Bell, who's an apostolic guy from England, and just received of God. But during that time, you know, I was kind of somewhat removed from being very demonstrative of what was going on. And Bishop Joseph Garlington out in Pittsburgh, he's still pastoring Covenant Church in Pittsburgh, invited me out to come to a renewal meeting. And I went to the renewal meeting there, and oh, things were popping. The Holy Spirit was moving. It was an exciting time in God and so forth. And I was standing worshiping, and there were people on the floor, and there were people praising, and songs were going, the musicians were playing. And all of a sudden, I found myself on the floor. And the Holy Spirit was all over me. And I was laying on the floor. I can't say that I didn't have control of myself, because that would be unbiblical. But I just knew that as I was laying on the floor, I needed to do this. Now, that's already offended some people who are here, right? So anyway, I'm laying on the floor in this big church in Pittsburgh. And like I'm there, and Bishop Garlington's there, and I'm laying on the floor, and I'm going, and I just don't know what it is, but I know that the Holy Spirit is all over me. I'm experiencing this awesome presence of God. And so, so Bishop Garlington says to me as I go up off the floor, he says, "What were you doing?" And I said, "I don't know." And that night, I went back to my hotel room, and two things were going on in my life. I was coming out of Moravian Seminary, which, you know, meant I was on the edge of intellectual arrogance again, which is my big Achilles heel. And I was, that was going on, and this certainly wasn't very intellectual. And so there was that going on, but my dad had just died not terribly long previous to that. And my father had accepted the Lord just a few weeks before he died. And he died very suddenly, just out of nowhere. He threw a clot, fell on the floor, and he was gone. Like, he just got taken, you know. But I never, we had this, as far as Christ and Christianity went, we had this very conflicting relationship. And then he comes to Christ, and maybe over the course of 2 weeks, we had a few chats, because I was in Europe preaching, and I came back, and I discovered that he'd come to, Tricia led him to Christ, but I never had the opportunity to know him as a Christian. Are you there? And I was grieving, and so these two things were going on in my life. And that night, when I was in the hotel room, I had a dream, and in the dream, I saw my father's face, And I saw him looking at me in the dream going, like that. And I suddenly remembered in my earliest memories when I was growing up at an Air Force base in New York, that my father would come in his uniform at night, and he'd take me and my brother and put us on the floor and raise our shirts and go into our bellies and go, like that. And, you know, I woke up and the Holy Spirit just kind of fell on me, and I realized that I was healed of my grief. And I only had fondness, and I only had wonder. I had this tremendous sense that I have all eternity for him to go, you know? It was that kind of thing. See, that experience wasn't just humbling. It could be humiliating if I handle it wrong. Are you there?
Yes.
But God wanted to do something with me in a way that I had not anticipated. And I'm not saying everybody should go, what I am saying is that got rid of about 3 months worth of grief counseling I would have had to do otherwise. Are you there? It's just this sovereign kind of move of God. I want to take a look at our text this morning. It's from Isaiah 43:16. And the context is this, before we read it. Israel has been in captivity for decades, and they prospered in Babylon. Israel was removed and placed elsewhere in the purposes of God because they were disobedient. And then Isaiah prophesies this. And I believe this is something of what God is saying to NC4. So we'll begin in chapter 43, verse 16. Thus says the Lord. The word for Lord there is Yahweh. Thus says Yahweh, the covenant God. That's the name of a covenant God. Who makes a way in the sea, not made a way in the sea, makes a way in the sea. A path in the mighty waters. They're describing Exodus. God says, I'm still the God who does that stuff. Who brings forth chariot and horse, who draws out, the NIV says, chariot and horse and army and warrior. This is Pharaoh's army being described. And they lie down and they cannot rise. They are extinguished and quenched like a wick. This is a description of the miracle of the Red Sea. Everywhere else in Scripture, Israel is commanded to remember this miracle, which makes verse 18 really kind of crazy. Because then God says, remember not the former things. Remember not. Everywhere else in Scripture, God is saying, don't forget, don't forget, don't forget, don't forget. Here he says, remember not. Forget the former things, nor consider the things of old. So what is God doing here? Is he throwing a bomb into the past? Verse 19, he says, behold, I am doing a new thing. Huh? I am doing a new thing. And the word to do there means I'm creating. I'm creating something new from something which is old. That's literally what that word means. And so the old experience of God is the raw material for something completely new. And the notion is this. Don't gain your understanding from the things that I've done in the past, people. Gain your understanding from who I am today. All right? And so now it springs forth. And then he says, well, don't you perceive it? Can't you see it? This implies that the new thing can be missed. All right? I'll make a river in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Verse 20, the wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches. These are unclean animals. For I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert to give a drink, refreshment to my chosen people. But this is a slightly snarky thing that God's kind of saying here, because there's a parallelism, and it's almost as if the scavengers in the desert are parallel with the people of God because they've been obedient. But he says, nevertheless, I'm going to refresh you, all right? And the people whom I have formed for myself, that they might declare me praise. All these kinds of things are going to go on, God says, in order that I might be praised, in order that my people will be demonstrative concerning who I am, which is what we were doing this morning. Are you there? Right? Okay. So in verses 16 and 17, God is saying, you don't need to remember the things I did. You need to remember who I am. And I am Yahweh, who exercises lordship over your circumstances. I exercise lordship over your diagnosis, your prognosis. I exercise lordship over nature. I exercise lordship over the people who oppose you, the circumstances that are in your way, because you can do anything in me. Amen. That's pretty good news. Yeah. And so what? So then why does God have to stir things up to say that? Why can't things be the same and we just move forward that way? Well, here's the answer. We can't thrive on yesterday's faith. Huh? See, my ministerial life is punctuated with churches and people when I go out and so forth who live in a past experience of God to the denial of any present new experience of God. There was a group here back in the 1960s and 70s, and about in 1990, somewhere around there, that group, which is kind of where I met God and had a lot to do with as a very, very young man, that group had a reunion and met, you know, and I think, oh, see some old friends and these people that I knew back or worshiped with back 10, 15, 20 years ago. And so I went to this thing. And they had a worship thing, and they were all crying because what they had was now gone. And I wanted to say, are you guys crazy? God's doing all kinds of wonderful new stuff, and you're still back where you were, and you're locked into these memories that are just defeating where God wants to take you. It's much more complicated than that, but it was like amazing that where they had been was now the obstacle of where God wanted them to go, huh? You know, and I'm not talking about changing churches or changing affiliations. I'm talking about in one's life, yeah? And so God is a creative God who loves making new ways from old ways. God is a creative God who loves making new ways from old ways. God loves changing the game. God loves, God. Have you ever had God call an audible on you? Yeah? I mean, you're like, you're going this way, and then you hear, suddenly God says, no, go this way. It's that kind of thing. I remember a number of years ago, it was this simple. I don't pray like if I'm going to put mustard on my sandwich, or I don't pray about ketchup on my hot dog. But there are times when God, you know, just breaks into my life and says, you're about to do this, but right now I want you to do this. And he calls an audible. Have you been there? Yes. And so God calls an audible, and what was going to happen? I was going to go to a prayer meeting, and I had been studying Russian, and I've been doing a whole lot. I was going to go to a prayer meeting in another church in town, and there was a meeting here, but I didn't have to be there. And I'm on my way over to West Allentown, and then God calls an audible and says, get over to New Covenant right now. So I walk into New Covenant, and as I walk into New Covenant, I had been studying Russian, felt like it was going nowhere, and so I thought, if I don't see something that means something about all this study, I'm just going to stop doing it. And I walked in the door downstairs. I think you were there, Tony. And I walked downstairs, and this blonde guy comes walking up the hallway. And I said, hi, how are you? I didn't know him. I said, he said, where's the pastor's meeting? I said, it's downstairs. I said, can I show you? I noticed you have an accent. And it said in a heavy Russian accent, well, my name is Ilya Bontsev. And he was from Russia. And I ran right into him. And he was only in for that day. Well, that eventuated in me being involved with the establishment of like 8 churches in Siberia, you know, through Ilya's ministry. Great minister of God, thick Russian accent. And I always say, say moose and squirrel. He goes, a moose and squirrel. Now, some of you will know what that means, and most of you won't. So God called an audible, you know. God's this creative God. Here's something interesting. Earlier during Exodus, right, what God's describing here, God made a way through the sea. Now he's making a way through the desert for his people. In Exodus, he overcame the obstacle of the water for his people. Now he's going to transform what was an obstacle before into a provision, because water is what's needed in the desert. Are you following me? I mean, this is how creative God is. This is how fascinating. Whereas the children of Israel fled from Egypt through water, which was an obstacle that entrapped them, God is saying that the children of Israel in Babylon are going to have the provision of water as a highway into their destiny. Huh? In other words, what is an obstacle in our lives like that can be changed into a blessing, right? It's that kind of thing. So it's possible for God to move us into something now without us perceiving it. All right? And the issue is recognition. In verse 19, God asks the question, well, don't you see it? Are you blind to it? And there are two possibilities here. The first is that we just don't see what's happening. And the second is, the other possibility is that we see what's happening, but we don't know that God's doing it. I don't know how many people I've ministered to over the years who go, oh man, I don't know where God is in this. But the truth is, God can't not be in it if it's impacting our destiny and where we're going. Are you there? And so we can be so preoccupied. Here's something. Oh, I know. Wait. Okay. I had somebody come to me and say, God put Trump in office. And I said, he sure did. He also put Obama in office. He also put Bush in office. Are you there? Because Romans 13 says, whoever is in office, God put in office. Huh? Now, they're responsible for the office that they're put in, and they're going to have to answer to God for what they did in that office, but God put them there. Are you there? So the issue is recognition. We can be so preoccupied with what we're going through that we don't recognize where we're going to. Huh? I mean, God can take us into His purposes for our lives while we don't recognize that actually we're on our way. I never thought I would be doing what I'm doing today in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. And I've been doing this for 30-some years. Trisha and I were on our way to France to Parlez-vous Français over there and eat baguettes and have thick coffee in the morning in Paris and drive a Vespa and say bonjour, you know, do that. I didn't think I'd be here eating scrapple, you know. But I was on my way to my destiny and I didn't know it. And this is because the way in which He's taking us usually is disagreeable to us. Huh? And we need to be stretched. Because you know what? We could do it better if He would just let us. Yeah. I remember, you got to watch the time. Oh, we got to really fly here. Okay. I'm going to skip that. Okay. The greatest obstacle to seeing what God is doing now is being ensnared in what He did before, all right? The song this morning was Billy Joel's Keeping the Faith. I put it up there because I loved the lyrics. The lyrics say, it seems like I'm lost and let's remember. Yeah? And then he says, say goodbye to the oldies but goodies because the good old days weren't always good and tomorrow ain't as bad as it seems. Well, how true is that? But when we insist that God is now doing what God is doing is absolutely must look like what He has done before, then we're in danger of missing what He's doing. Huh? And in this sense, some memories can be lethal. Memories can get in the way of our development in God. You know, I mean, Trish and I always have this thing where because she likes to go to reunions. I hate reunions, you know, because I don't want to sit around a bunch of people who are talking about glory days. I'm in my glory days. I really mean that. I mean, there's never been a moment that I ever wanted to go back to a different time in my life because I made it through alive. I don't know about you guys. That's like where I'm at. But we insist that what God is now doing absolutely must look like what He's done before because that's the way He does things. And when we do that, we're in danger of missing what He's doing. Okay. Last thing. And I'm saying this because I really believe we're like into something in God right now, that the water is rising at New Covenant. The water is rising in the Lehigh Valley. We're going to have some really holy swimming to do. Okay, and this is the last thing. God desires a people who are demonstrative at his ever-changing goodness and power. This whole thing about, behold, I do a new thing, and will you not see it, and I'm going to make a way in the wilderness for you and all that, it all sums up to one thing, so that my people would praise me. So that my people would declare my goodness and praise. So that my people would be demonstrative of who I am and what I do in their lives. And I feel like part and parcel of what the Lord's doing in the families and the lives here at NC4 is a new season of demonstrativeness. Demonstration is probably the better word, but I'll coin demonstrativeness. Yeah, which means that we're not shy about showing God, you know, in gesture and praise and in song, how good God is. And the quality of our worship and the passion that we have for him. Now, Tony had mentioned that we changed the power encounters from the first Friday in April to the last Friday in March. And that was largely at my bequest, because I had such a good time at that power encounter. I mean, that the glow of that meeting lasted for about 4 days. I mean, when I came in Sunday morning, it was almost something was going on here already. Are you there? I just thought, I felt like the Lord said, you need to be there for this next one, because we're going to do 5 right up to Moravian Pentecost. And so now we're going to do it on the 29th of March. And I know there's some people who were there for the first one, they can't be there for this one, but there's 5 of them. We can all kind of get on board at one time or another. I just felt that there was change in the atmosphere. That there was. See, what's happening is the atmosphere at those meetings are going to develop into a climate. Huh? And I really believe we're looking for a climate change in Bethlehem and a climate change in Mukunji, maybe a climate change in Lehigh Valley, which is fine with me. It's that kind of thing. I'm going to ask Steph King to come up here. I want her to just testify. Tell us what happened, Steph.
Okay. So I just want to explain my experience on Friday night at the Power Encounter, because I believe it represents a heavenly message. So I'm just going to read this. So Leah came up to me at the altar, and she was weeping, just this really deep weep, and she could hardly get the words out. And she said she was looking at me during the prayer time and saw exactly how much God loves me. And, you know, I truly know that God loves me, but when she kept repeating it over me and saying these words, that he loves me, he loves you so much, it was as if I was like right there in the throne room with the Father, and I felt to the core of me how very much he loved me. And we basically know most days how much the Father loves us, and when his presence comes and we feel it like how it feels in heaven, it's beyond what our human minds and our comprehension here on earth is. And I was completely undone. And then Leah said, you should just go lay down somewhere and just receive, because it was just like so on me at the time. So I went between some rows in the back, and as my face was planted in the carpet, I felt that familiar renewal days feeling of his presence and his love that was poured down from heaven during that time. And I began to weep really hard. And usually when I cry or weep and in an intercession or just cry, you know, you feel that ache and emotion in your heart. But this time it was so different than anything I can ever remember in my life. Like, I didn't feel sad. I didn't feel any emotion except really good. I was feeling so good that we were having this meeting, and I was really excited, and I was so at peace, and my eyes were just like, and they're just like weeping, and I'm going through like a whole pack of tissues, and I'm like, what is happening? Because my heart was so disconnected, and I had such a calm joy at the same time as my body is just like leaking all over the place. So, and I kept saying in my mind, why am I crying? Why am I crying? I'm so happy right now that we're having this meeting. So anyhow, it's just really hard to explain, but I just knew that I have never had this happen before in my life. So on Sunday lunch, I'm with a bunch of people and I'm sitting at the table and we're talking about how good Friday night was. And all of a sudden I said, heaven has started to leak. And it came out of my mouth and I was like, where in the world did that just come from? And I realized a couple minutes before that, Johnny and Leah were talking about this leak that they had in their house that week. And they're like, oh, we had this leak. And I'm wondering what's going on. And so this is what I saw. I saw that, okay, I just want to get this right. When I was saying heaven is starting to leak, what I meant was that there was a little tear way up high, not a tear right above us in the atmosphere, but it reached the atmospheric layer right before heaven, and now heaven has started to drip and leak on us. When the words that heaven has started to leak flew out of me, I said that part before. Okay. I don't think that it's a coincidence that they had a leak, and I believe that grubby listening to the urgency of the Holy Spirit is the kind of tenacity and contending attitude that the Lord wants us to have right now, and that because of grubby's quick obedience, instead of playing it safe with caution, a leak has sprung. There's a little tear in the atmosphere above us, and the water that came from my eyes and the leak in Johnny and Leah's home represents the love and so much more that's going to be pouring down from heaven. And it might just be a little leak right now, but just as any leak, if you let it go, it just gets bigger and bigger and wetter and wetter. And this is not the kind of leak that needs repairing, but rather one that should be allowed to flow and saturate. It may seem odd to some because heaven does not look like earthly elements, and some may wonder why we would let this leak happen. But our prayer should be that our eyes would be open to see that it's leaking gold. It is leaking gold. And when a leak is sprung and it's leaking gold, you don't clean it up and you don't run from it. The world must have it and run to it.
She texted me that this week and I felt like that testimony needs to go out. I believe we're going to see more kinds of things like that, like the warfare that was done this morning. And so, you know, every once in a while, we just have to allow God to move us from the sublime to the ridiculous, to just encounter what He wants to do in our lives. And I'm excited. Huh? I'm excited for that. Behold, I do a new thing. Will you not perceive it? Behold, I do a new thing. Will you not perceive it? Behold, I do something new. Will you not perceive it? In your families, in your spiritual lives, at the job, at school, behold, I do a new thing. Will you not perceive it? Says the Lord. Amen? Amen. Wow. Okay. Look, it just may be that what you heard this morning is just a little bit crazy or whatever, but you know that you're hearing something of the stuff of heaven. And you see these people and you see them, that they seem to know God and they seem to be enamored of God. And maybe you've never made that leap into the arms of Jesus Christ. Well, this morning is this morning that you can do that. So I'm going to say a prayer, and if you say that prayer with me, it could mean a whole new day and something new for you. And we're all going to say it together. I'm going to ask every head to be bowed, and I'm going to ask everyone to repeat after me. But if you are thirsty for God, and you feel like you've either lost God along the way or you never really had God to begin with, pray this prayer because it could change your life. Will you repeat after me? Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong in my life. Please forgive me. I now turn from anything that I know is wrong. I just thank you because you died on the cross for me, so that I could be forgiven, Lord, and set free. Thank you that you offer me forgiveness. I receive it. I receive the gift of your Spirit. I invite you into my life by your Holy Spirit. Be with me forever. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening. For info about NC4, visit our website at www.nc4.org.